Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 79th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include actress and voice actress Kate Flannery. Got a new movie, Golden Arm, which is available now on Apple TV. We also talk about her upcoming projects as well. We also visit with country singer and songwriter Allie Colleen. We talk about her new singles. Yeah, I did say singles. We'll also talk about upcoming tour dates, releases, and even some vinyl in store. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and of course, share with your friends. Now, Google's Trends section, where they analyze all of their search data, just turned 15 years old. And in honor of that birthday, they just revealed the five questions that people have searched for the most in the past 15 years. With all the knowledge of the internet at our disposal, the most common thing that people have asked Google over the past decade and a half is, what time is it? We are simple folk, aren't we? Now, there are five questions that people have searched for the most. They are, like I said, what time is it? Number one. Number two, how to tie a tie. I wonder if that's a Windsor or a double Windsor. Number three, how to kiss. Number four, where am I? And number five, how many ounces in a cup? And I guess if they would have put last year in there, probably would have said, what day is it? Got a new movie available on Apple TV called The Golden Arm. We've got Kate Flannery on the line with us today. And first off, Kate, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Of course. How are you?
Doing well, but man, movie release, it probably feels unlike any other movie released had, right?
Well, these are strange times, that's for sure. But we're doing our best.
Now, the movie Golden Arm, if folks haven't seen the previews or the trailers, Kate, tell our listeners just a little bit about the new film.
Well, it's a buddy comedy about two women. One of them wants to make money as an arm wrestler, but she's not very talented. And the scrawny, skinny, wimpy friend, we find out kind of by accident, has all the talent. So off they go, arm wrestling.
That 2021, the inspiration that we needed was a female arm wrestling. I mean, who knew, right, Kate?
Who knew is right. Boy, I only had to train very briefly, but it was worth it. It was fun.
Now, for you, tell us a little bit about your role in the film and always the supportive character, right?
Right. I'm the person that basically helps them discover who's got talent of the two. So, I beat the first buddy and then the other one kicks my butt. So yeah, I play Randy the bar owner and it's just really, really fun. And, there's so many funny people in this movie. And I think, it's kind of just what the doctor ordered these days, a good laugh.
Now, Kate, obviously you've been on the screen behind the scenes doing voiceover work as well. This last year, has the voiceover work picked up as a result of folks having to be home so much?
No, yes and no. I mean, it kind of feels about the same for me, but maybe for others. But I've also been busy. I've been doing this website Cameo where you can get a personal message. So I've been doing a lot of that because a lot of people, you know, they don't have a real graduation, or they have to postpone their wedding, or they can't go out for a birthday, so they're asking for a private message. So that's been fun.
Now, Kate, is Cameo, is that one of the biggest new things that you picked up as a result of pandemic times?
Yes. Yeah. I was involved before the pandemic, but it's exploded since then, for sure.
Now, Kate, how much different is it on set now as opposed to what maybe a year and a half ago, the way things are approached on the set?
Yeah, it's so different. I mean, we have to be tested and retested and super careful. And it's a skeleton crew. There's not a lot of people, you know, they try to keep everybody socially distanced. And we just have to be really careful and really diligent. And it feels like the simplest things take a little more energy because we all have to be so careful. But, you know, it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it.
Now, Kate, we've talked to other folks, too, that have gone back, and because of the masks and the separation, do you find it easier to stay in role and in character, or do you find it a little more difficult?
It hasn't really affected me in that way, no, but it's, I do feel like, there's been a lot more from my living room. Like, I got to do Seth Meyers and the Today Show from my living room. So weird. I was not prepared for my neighbor knocking or my landline going off, but that's how it goes when you're shooting from home. It's so weird.
Yeah, I'm just hoping and praying that that the dogs decide not to bark at the neighbors while we're visiting today.
So crazy. So crazy. But, you know, things are definitely getting a little back to normal because I just did Kelly Clarkson's show and Entertainment Tonight, and that was in person. So I just had to get tested, and, you know, it's I will do whatever they tell me to do to be allowed to show up. It's worth it.
Now, Kate, what has been the biggest thing that you take away from the last 12 months, maybe an opportunity to refocus some things mentally as well?
Well, I will say I knew this before a little bit, but now I really know it. I'm one of the luckiest people on the planet, and I've been lucky enough to be busy and to continue to work, and I know that's not the case for everybody. And I just want to say to all people that have been taken out of their lives and can't do what they love to do because of all this, my heart goes out to you, and I just want you to know you're not alone, and you're going to get through this, and there will be another chapter waiting for you, and it's not easy. It's really not easy. So we just have to hang in there and you know, just keep our hearts and our heads in the right place, you know.
And again, the movie Golden Arm, an opportunity to get folks kind of out of their own heads and bring a little lightheartedness to their lives. And Kate, how much do you appreciate the opportunity to do that for folks?
It's a privilege. Trust me. This movie was supposed to come out. We were supposed to go to South by Southwest last year. I'm just so lucky that it still lives and that it has a new life and that it'll be on demand. And if people want to go to the theater, they can. But if they don't, you don't have to. You can watch it from your living room and maybe your landline will go off or your neighbors will knock.
There you go. Now, Kate, what's been the biggest binge that you've had over the last few months?
Ted Lasso, what a fun show. If you have not watched it, it's about an American football coach that gets hired to coach a British football, which is really soccer. So he kind of has no business doing what he's doing. So fun, so fun. And I'm actually watching Ray Donovan, which I never watched the first time, and it's kind of gnarly sometimes. It's good storytelling though. It's pretty intense. And you know, and I've been watching Schitt's Creek, which is so fun.
You can't pass that one up. You can't pass that one.
No, I'm a big Catherine O'Hara fan. It's part of why I got involved in Second City in the first place. She was always a hero of mine.
That's awesome. Now, Kate, if folks want to keep up with not only the movie coming out, but also everything you've got social media wise, where's the best place to keep up?
On Twitter at Kate Flannery, and on Instagram at The Real Kate Flannery.
All right. Well, Kate, it has been great to visit with you. Continued success to you, and looking forward to the new film.
Thank you so much. I'm going to be doing some Comic-Cons in Florida this summer for sure. It looks like we're going back, so that's good. So I'll be in Pensacola in May, and I think I'll be in Orlando in July or August. August. Yeah. So thanks.
Well, Kate, have a great rest of your day.
You too. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Now, knock on wood, it looks like we might actually get to have a real summer this year, and we're not going to waste it. According to a new survey, 59% of people say they want to try something new this summer. And here are the top 10 things on people's summer bucket list. Number 1, camping. Number 2, water skiing. Number 3, wakeboarding. Number 4, surfing. Number 5, hiking. Number 6, skydiving. Number 7, fishing. Number 8, mountain climbing. Number 9, sunbathing. And number 10, going to a national park or monument. All right, guys, our guest on the podcast and friend of the show as well, Allie Colleen, singer, songwriter, and man alive, not only does she have one single out, she's got a handful of singles that we're going to have a chance to talk about. And Allie, always great to visit with you, my friend.
I'm so happy to be back. I just enjoy, honestly, I know interactions with Zoom, people thought they were weird at one time. They're so normal now. You know what I mean? I'm all about it. I'm not alone in my house right now, so I'm pretty stoked about it.
There you go. Now, I remember when you did the Facebook takeover for us, and that was kind of early. Yes. Still, and your appearance and reaction to a camera is a little different than it was back then, right?
Yes. The performances are so different, though, too, like the Facebook Live performances, because there's no one else there. You know, like, here I got right. You. Like, we can butt out. We can hang here. Unless you invite somebody onto your live, you're just sitting here, like, singing to this thing right here. And it just stinks. I hate it.
Now, have you had the opportunity to play even some small events as of late?
Absolutely. We have had very few opportunities, but opportunities nonetheless. I mean, in the beginning of the year, as soon as Florida and Texas kind of opened up, we didn't hit the Texas market, but we went down to Florida and played a couple honky tonks and did some band shows. And, it was really, really awesome. I think my most recent show I got to do, we drove all the way to nowhere Amish country, Pennsylvania for a Kentucky Derby themed party during the race the other week. So that was interesting. Everybody just had weird hats on and got super drunk, but it was awesome. So few and far between, but we are getting to do some stuff.
Now, how do you hold back the excitement as we approach summer, we approach the opportunity to get out there for events, however it may look this year? I mean, how do you hold that excitement in?
I don't think I do. I'm very excited. I just, you know, we're musicians. It's like we have to be good at a lot of things, honestly, just because we're independent business owners at this point. You know what I mean? But with that said, we're not good at anything else. Like we just make music. You know what I mean? So I need an outlet to do that. I need to perform. I need to perform for much more than this iPhone, but I'll take it if that's what I get. You know, if we go back to Facebook Lives, I'd make it work. But I don't think I do, man. I think I'm just as excited as the bandmates. And also I think it's really reassuring to the fans that are thinking about coming out. You know, I don't know what all the different regions of this country have been like during this pandemic. Nashville's been pretty relaxed, but yeah. I know there's a lot of places that haven't been that way. So I also think just my excitement and this kind of things just hopefully encourage somebody to just come out. Like, just come out, please.
Now, we talked about the singles. We've talked about the new music that you were working on a couple times before as well. So, yes. Like I mentioned, going to have three in the pipeline, I think, at one time at least. What is your goal? Are you trying to set a record? Is that what you're going for?
I'm just trying to annoy everybody I can. You know what I mean? If you see Allie Pulling everywhere you're going to something, you're going to remember it.
Yeah.
But no, being an independent artist, you know, we got to work out this really interesting release plan for our album. So I had a debut album come out in April. My very first one, it's 11 songs. It's perfect, to be honest. Even with all of its little mistakes, it's perfect. And so all of that to say, Spotify algorithms, iTunes algorithms, all that stuff, they are just not supporting albums anymore. It's just not a thing. You know what I mean? And so when we talk to those curators and Spotify, all that stuff, just trying to learn all these different things, we settled on that 50-50 meet right in the middle. So for us, the album launched on April 9th. You can go on my website, Allie Pulling Music. You can buy it, pop in your car, or if you're up north, scrape your car off with it. I don't know. Find a CD player, use it. Listen to the whole thing, look at the credits, do whatever you want. Or you can wait every 5 or 6 weeks, you know, for a track to come out on Spotify, which now that we are 2-3 tracks in, that happens really quick. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh, it really does happen really quick. So all that to say, on Black Friday, the whole album will come out on streaming with a bonus song, because we recorded the 12 songs. And I kept one for myself, and I'm very overly boldly saying it's going to be on some deluxe version that comes out on Black Friday, because I still don't know if I want to share the song with everybody. That's why I kept it. It's very personal for me, and it means a lot. But I'll say, if we do it right, you're going to go buy a physical CD. Please play the song when it comes out on streaming, and then get the full thing also as a different thing on Black Friday. All of that in hopes to make enough money on the physical CDs to print vinyls.
There you go.
For the big release at the end of the year. So we're just working really, really hard on shoving allicholine in your face right now. And we're very excited about it.
You're doing a good job of it so far.
Thank you.
Now, what has marketing, where do you get that expertise? I mean, your age, I know, has got to help on the social media side. Honestly, social media is what I struggle with. So that's...
It's so tough, man. I just content so hard. You know what I mean? I always get in that mindset of like, I don't find this interesting. Why would I post it? They're not going to find it interesting. That's never true, dude. People love everything. You know what I mean? So a lot of it's just doing it. A lot of it's just as dumb as it feels. Make the post, do your hashtags, do your stuff. Just do it. You know, TikTok, if you're going to be a TikTok person, y'all, just grip it and rip it. Do it. Just TikTok your life away, I guess. But I don't know. I think I'm such a creative person. And I think that I have just, you know, obviously found and created the perfect environment for myself to where even the marketing stuff is creative. You know, like we're having to find a way to cater to, because my audience is 50-50 both ways, age-wise.
Right.
So half of them want that CD and they're not going to go get streaming. They're not going to download Spotify. They're not going to figure it out. They will even send me messages like, hey, if you do like a screen recording tutorial on how to do this, I will go find her music. So I'll say we got those guys. And then we've got these guys, which are either children or have a 2019 or newer car, doesn't have CD player in it. You know what I mean? Or whatever the case may be, that's just not going to go buy the physical thing. So I feel like for us, we just had to be really uber creative and just really find a way to do this. And then also find a way to make each one different to where you still go get all of them. Because one faux pas I had forgot that when you buy a CD, those aren't streams.
Right.
You can listen to my CD 30 times. I didn't get 30 streams. Forgot about that one. but we're going to make it work.
Now, for you, which do you prefer? Do you stream? Is that your thing? Being of the generation, if you will.
Absolutely, and that's why I get it so much, because I haven't bought music either since Spotify came out. Right. Aside from like when my friends release music, like when my best friends release music, of course, go to iTunes, buy it, go to Apple, go to Spotify, favorite it, playlist it, all that stuff. But just for me as a music listener, I'm a Spotify user. I love Spotify. I know there's a lot of artists in town that sometimes get at me. They're like, really? That's the one that like pays songwriters the least. And I'm like, but I already have all my playlists. Like, you know, how I want right. them. So I get it. So as a user, I get it. I get why it's so hard to drive album sales. I totally get it. But yeah, I'm a streamer. It makes perfect sense. It's awesome.
Now, the unreleased singles to come, give us a little insight into the album itself.
So another weird little marketing thing that we did is when you look at these artworks for the singles that are out, for Playing House and Don't Give Your Heart to a Cowboy and Make Me a Man, the artwork is the whole album's, you know, track list. And so obviously that intent is you're listening, Don't Give Your Heart to a Cowboy, you're loving it. But then you see Blame It on the Weather, you know, and you're like, well, what in the hell is that? And I'm like, oh, dude, sorry. That's going to be one of the releases that isn't even a single release. That's after Black Friday. Here's a link, though. You know, go get my CD and listen to it and check it out. So that is a whole point of it. But so there's three releases currently out from the album. Playing House was our first one. And then Don't Give Your Heart to a Cowboy. And then Make Me a Man was a surprise release on Mother's Day for all the single parents out there. So you guys can go check those out. And then outside of those, we have stuff like Stones, which is the title track, which is I Don't Give A. And then you can insert whatever word you want to put on the end of that sentence. Mine's the big F word. Yours can be Sugarfoot or whatever you want it to be, you know? And then that one's just cool. That one shows the side of Allie that is all external. That's really tough. And you're not going to want to mess with it. Hopefully, hopefully the outside will scare you enough to not want to check out the inside, because the inside's mush, you know, like just nothing but mush. But you got stuff like that. And then you got a really, really, really personal song that isn't personal at all. You've got Well Enough Alone, which is this beautiful song about this sweet little, I think she's 8. Kimberly Atwood thinks she's 12. She's my co-writer on it. Mm-hmm. Totally made up this story about this little girl. Totally not personal to either of us, kills me every time I listen to it.
Wow.
I absolutely love it. I'm obsessed with the characters that we've made. I know exactly what she looked like, all that kind of stuff. So honestly, just a range of all kinds of stuff. There's one song on the album that I wrote completely by myself, which I don't do very often anymore. There's also one song on the album that I cut as an artist for the first time in my life that I didn't write on at all. I'm just uber proud, honestly, of the whole project.
Now, when I was going through the releases, you know, and sampling each one, I click on Make Me a Man, and the name of the song, I mean, it's all dependent in inflection and how the song comes across, right?
Well, and look at our year. You know, it's 2021. Make Me a Man could easily be an anthem. You know what I mean? Easily. And that's such a draw to that title. You know, people aren't ever really far from it, though. A lot of people do go to that Build-A-Bear weird science vibe of like, make me a man, you know, that kind of thing, which isn't obviously far at all. The whole song is, right, God, make me a man worthy of my mama. You know what I mean? Like, it's basically weird science for my mom's boyfriend. But I have had the privilege to watch both of my parents as I grew up fall in love. Coolest experience on the planet. I recommend it 10 out of 10. And it's so cool. But all that to say, when we play this song, I always have to start it off with like, this is not eHarmony for my mom. Like, do not slide into her DMs. You're not shooting your shot. My mom is not a single lady anymore, because I play this song, and anybody who knows my family, honestly, they remember Sandy more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she's a babe. You know what I mean? So people are always coming out of the woodwork after the song, like, Sandy's single again? I'm like, no, leave her alone. She's not. No. So Make Me a Man is a cool one.
Now, you talked about the song that was a story that you guys completely made up. How much different, I mean, how do you know when you're going into a song, right, if you're going to just make something up or if you're going to talk life in a song? I mean, do you come in knowing that before you get the room?
Yeah, so it's always different. Well Enough Alone, specifically, I had the title. I loved the title, Well Enough Alone. You know, we didn't know if it was going to be something like, She Can't Leave Well Enough Alone, you know, or like, You Left Me Well Enough Alone. Mm-hmm. Or like, we're well enough alone. You know, we didn't know what it was yet. And we were like, man, let's just dive into it. Let's just not think about it. Let's write it. Let's figure it out. And I personally, as a writer, feel like a lot of my heartbreak songs are about those relationships that are not romantic. So they are with your parents, or they are with a best friend, or they are with just hell that rains down on you in life. You know what I mean? I don't find that I often sit down too much to put too much weight to two people and it work out all the time. So Well Enough Alone instantly was something more than a romantic relationship. You know, it was, this person is activating not only for themselves, but for somebody else. And so we just wrote this storyline of this little girl, you know, just looking at her dad. Can you imagine this 8-year-old girl looking at you as a man and going, dude, if what I see right here is a man, we're well enough alone, dude. We don't need you. Oh, that girl's got
out.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's so cool. And to think that that little girl is out there, you know, that little boy's out there that stuck up for his mom, and that girl's out there that stuck up for her dad when mom wasn't treating him right. You know what I mean? And I think it's such an interesting conversation. And honestly, we ran into a lot of issues writing Well Enough Alone with the storyline and what we were going to do with it. It really was something that Kimberly and I really spent a lot of time with, just figuring out this little girl and like what she grows into and like how much time actually passes in the song. You know what I mean? Does she grow up? Does she not? And we decided that she's going to stay there in that time place. And it's just different every time songwriting. It's just different.
Now, for you, how hard is it after the repetition of learning the song, writing the song, all of that, performing it for a year or two, whenever you get up to make it fresh each time you perform? I mean, what is your trick to that?
I think my trick to that is the new ears. There's always new ears. There's always somebody that hasn't heard it before. And I think it's easier said than done. You know what I mean? It's so much easier said than done. Sometimes you get in a flow, especially if you're if you're playing one of those shows where they didn't show up to see you, you know, if you're just playing a show where they showed up to go out tonight, especially after a pandemic, they can't see straight. You know what I mean? They couldn't when they got here. They've been so ready for 2 years to get turned up. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of situations where nobody's listening and it's really hard. But that's when I go back into why I wrote the song and why it's important to me and why I love it. There's a, we call it the gauntlet, just this thing that we put all of our new originals through. And I'm not going to, if I don't play a song on the road for a year, I probably won't cut it, because I got to know that 30 years from now, I still want to sing that song. And that's really hard. So there's something so special in picking your songs. I think there's also something so special in picking something that's going to be a little evergreen, you know, something that's going to work later. 2020 anthems were cool. What are you going to do with them? You know what I mean? So I think it just really comes down to the songs that you pick, that you choose to put out as an artist, opposed to what you just write as a songwriter.
Now, the songs that you have written as of late, are they more hopeful than and maybe a little brighter than some you've written in the past? Or are you delving a little darker, if you will?
I learned so much about myself from this album, which might be weird to think, because, you know, I wrote it, I created it, all that stuff. But it wasn't until the album was finished and I got to go to the studio and just sit dead center of those left and right speakers and listen to every track top to bottom, no pause, no clicking, nothing to change the track, nothing, just played it through. And I learned a lot about myself in the sense of what was important for me to be writing about in this album and what I did choose to land the list. And, I was talking to somebody yesterday. We were doing all these like sound bits for this album and all this stuff. And she goes, you don't surface right, do you? And I was like, oh God, no, no, I don't surface right. No, because there's somebody else out there that's amazing at that. That's not me. So everything on this album is going to, it's going to probably push you a little bit. It's going to make you think about it, but there's also some of the funnest stuff I've ever done on this album. And I think it's just going to be whatever you need to hear on this album. I hope you get it, you know.
For you, what are the biggest challenges as you get ready to go back out on the road? I mean, do you keep your voice ready for the barrage of performances that are upcoming?
Cardio.
You didn't say that with a very happy face.
I'm not saying I do it. I'm just saying it's something I think about. I need to do often. There is a special like show shape, you know, to be in, that just makes things easier, you know, right. It just makes things more fun when you're not having to think about breathing. You know what I mean? And like getting your breaths in and still being energetic and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of prep for that. Singing, there definitely is, you know, like a show shape to be in singing wise, but you can ask anybody around me. I don't ever quit singing, right. Ever. So there's really not too much work there to really put in and make sure, unless I was coming out of a season where maybe I was sick or something, then you really right. have to go into those vocal moments and do it. But I've put 8-12 hours a week aside since I was 7 to sing.
Is that all?
You know, so I intentionally do that. I love it. It's kind of like my little meditation thing that I do, and I love it. And really just making sure that I am good enough of a melody guitar player, because I've always played by myself. I kind of pick up the percussion part too. You know, I just do it all in a very sloppy way because that's what I've always done. And now playing with a band for the first time, I've really had to lock down just like playing melody guitar and like not trying to step on everybody else and like focus on singing. And so that's kind of something right now that I'm really, really working on going forward for these performances this summer.
Now the music, the upcoming full album, the vinyl, that's the one I'm excited for too, is the vinyl. And I've got a 16-year-old that I think she gets more excited about vinyl than I do. And how has vinyl come back so much?
I don't know, man. I think it looks cool, honestly. Right. Like I just think it looks cool because it is not the best method of sound. They don't sound very good. You know what I mean? Like everyone's like, oh, the pops. I'm like, we worked so hard to get the pops out. Like we worked past this, but it looks so cool. You cannot explain to me the science of the needle on the disc and the sound that comes out. No one will ever make that make sense to me. I just don't know. But how cool is it going to be to have me on a vinyl?
Now, for you, what are your biggest goals as we continue on through the summer, into the fall, and then into 2022? Have you already started tracking for 2022 as well?
So I've already started my pool for my next album, or my next release or project, or whatever we end up doing from mm-hmm. this. Something I always say, everything in this business, I'm sure every other business, sounds so stupid until you do it. You know, so everyone's always like, oh, you know, I'm writing for an album right now. I need a song like this. And I'm always sitting over here like, that's so dumb. Like, don't belittle the songwriting process like that. Write what you want. Fall in love with songs. Make those songs into an album. Well, I just did that, right? I just made an album of songs I just love. I can't wait to write for an album now, you know, to be like, okay, where's our stones of this album? Okay, cool. Where's our ballad? Where's our this? But like, let's do it. You know, like, I'm so excited for that now. So I already have two songs that I've wrote so far in the pool for the next album that I'm very excited about and things like that. But I think my goals are just to get really comfortable with the band shows and for that to start feeling like my acoustic sets do.
Right.
Because my acoustic sets are such a breath of fresh air. And the band shows, about 3 a.m. is when I finally settle down and I'm not nervous anymore. The show ended at 11:30. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so nervous that I'm going to mess the guys up, you know, or whatever the case is with that. Because if I mess up acoustically, you just keep playing until you remember,
right.
You know, where you're coming back to. Can't do that with the guys, especially not if we do tracks and things like that, which we're going to work into stuff. So really, really just working on just owning the craft, you know, and perfecting Ali Colleen's presence, you know, as a band and as a performer. Because I've got a very strong presence as a writer and as a singer, but I haven't nailed down my performance yet. Also, people just assume I'm going to smash my guitar in like 17 pieces. And those things are expensive. I name mine. I'm very close to them. I could never imagine just punching one. So I got to find my own performance style that I got.
That's awesome. Now, Allie, as the dates become available, obviously the new music and everything else, where's the best place? I know you got some new merch too. I was checking that out before we came on.
I do. I have some new merch. I keep telling people about it and they get so mad because I don't put it on the online store because we need them for the few travel shows we know we have coming up. So merch, stickers, 8x10s, all that kind of stuff. That's more show stuff. You guys can come to shows and buy. We do have merchandise and the album online. Ali Colleen Music, always find me there. Somebody else owns AliColleen.com and wants me to buy it from them. So I will never own that site. But I have Ali Colleen Music. So check it out. All my socials are Ali Colleen Music. I run everything myself. If you ever send me a message, I personally either didn't respond to you or did. It's all on me. You know what I mean? So, but I'm very active on Instagram. You guys can always reach out to me there, all that kind of stuff. But iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Napster. I don't know what that is, but you can find my music anywhere, you guys.
That's awesome. Well, Allie, always great to visit with you. I appreciate you carving some time out. And
I look forward to the next time. Thank you also for just giving me a little room on your platform. I really, really appreciate it. I know you got a lot of people to fit in and all that kind of stuff. So thank you for virtually interacting with me today. I really appreciate it. Always enjoy it.
Well, thanks again for joining us for this 79th episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, even TikTok, at gqwithcam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, visit our merch store. We've got hoodies, shirts, tumblers, mugs, stickers, and more, gqwithcam.com/shop. And if you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Well, thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your Wednesday.